Hey guys, before we get started with this episode, I wanted to give you the down low. Reed was sick this week, so Kyle and I decided to do a crossover minisode. For those of you who don't know, Kyle has a history podcast called The Library. So, this week, we'll be mashing WDKS with The Library for a very special minisode. Enjoy!
Hey, guess what today day is? Crossover episode with The Library. We doing history stories today. Yeah. You ready? Because that's what we're doing.
This makes me super excited. And I had some kind of inkling because you said that I was really going to enjoy all of these stories. So I had some kind of inkling that there was going to be some kind of special theme going on, to put it in a certain way. And so all of these stories are going to be history related.
Yes, they are.
And that's exciting.
Yes.
Okay. Crossover episode commence.
Commencing. Rare 12th century triple toilet let three people go number two at once.
Hell yeah.
Dukeying together.
Triple dukes.
The next time fate slaps you with the middle seat on an airplane, bus, or crowded car, at least be thankful you're not enduring the middle seat of a three-person toilet. Such toilet, actually a 900-year-old toilet, is a plank of wood with three holes hacked into it and will soon go on display at the Museum of London Docklands as part of a new exhibit. This rare 12th century Triple John once hung over a pit that drained into the River Fleet, which is nasty.
Very nasty.
Makes me real thankful that I have a normal turlet.
Right?
Archaeologists found this well-preserved toilet during a series of digs near the River Fleet conducted in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Interestingly, the museum curators think they know the names of at least some of the long-dead toilet users who pressed their cheeks against this slab of wood. Hopefully they didn't get splinters. Ouchie. Anal splinters are my worst enemy.
Something I deal with on a weekly basis.
It's a real epidemic in the Weeks household. The owners of the nearby apartment were a cap maker named John DeFlette and his wife, Cassandra, who likely used this very three-person paper. You can see this historical piece of buttwood at the Museum of London Docklands from May 24th to October 27th.
I love the slip into the accent.
Did you like that?
Seamless, babe. Can you imagine being the person in the middle and there's a person pooping on either side of you and you're trying to just pinch a loaf right there? Like,
the stank.
What kind of mindset? You know what I mean?
Do they talk? Do they have like a conversation?
Right. Because like nowadays I can't even in a multi-person bathroom with like stalls and walls and doors and stuff. I can't even poop if there's another person in the bathroom, in another stall, using a urinal.
Yeah.
My body involuntarily, clenches itself, and nothing enters or leaves that when there's another person in the vicinity. So, to me, thinking, there's a person literally touching me, taking a poop on both sides of me, and
oh, yeah.
I also have to take a poop.
How lucky would you feel if you went to the bathroom and there wasn't other people there? You're probably like, yes. You're probably so happy. It's like when you walk into the bathroom at work and no one's in there.
Right.
If you walked up and there was nobody else taking a shit, you're like, fuck yeah, I get to take a shit in silence.
You're like, I got to get this done fast before somebody else walks up. And then you just see that cap maker walking down and you're just like, fuck.
God God damn it. hurry.
You're just like trying to shove it out of your body faster.
This is like the worst version of my biggest pet peeve, which is when somebody talks to me through the stall in a bathroom. I fucking hate that so much.
Imagine having the runs because you have cholera again. And again. You gotta just take like a 20-minute long constant liquid shit. And you just like see like Bob comes up and he sits on the toilet next to you. And then he's taking his whole shit and leaves in the time that you're still there, touching arm to arm, taking your shit.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
That life must have been horrible.
Yeah, it makes me super thankful for our modern apartment with a modern toilet.
Yeah. And this thing called a toilet brush that can just, like, clean it up, and so I don't have to just, like, see a pit full of shit.
Pit full of shit?
Look at that pit full of shit there. Don't talk about Bobby like that.
Yeah, pretty nasty, but if you're that interested and you live in London, head over to the Museum of London Docklands from May 24th to October 27th to see this piece of poo wood.
It actually would be really cool to go see it in person.
It would be. It's a whole exhibit about the rivers and how life used to be. So it would be really interesting. But the fact that they used to poop 3-in-1 is pretty interesting.
It's 900 years old. So, I mean, anything that's 900 years old and still kicking around, it's got to be pretty fucking awesome.
It's actually in excellent condition as well. So.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine if we had beer from, like, that long ago.
Well, I have some news for you. Beer from 1886 shipwreck may yield new brew.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
Oh, yes way.
What?
Let's go on a journey.
Let's.
Back to 1886. The SS Oregon, en route from Liverpool, England, to New York City, with 852 people aboard on March 14th, 1886, suddenly it collided with a schooner near Fire Island, New York, and sank. All survived but one, but that's not what truly matters.
What's more important?
What really matters is that we have what that ship was carrying in our possession now in 2019. Beer.
Hell yeah.
Why is this significant, you ask? Because biotechnology students at the State University of New York at Kolbskoel uncorked a bottle from the shipwreck, and Sirius Brewing Company has plans to develop a new brew if the students successfully extract the yeast.
Wait, so they're going to use the yeast that is located in this brew from 1886 as a base for a new brew?
Yes.
Dude, that's cool as hell.
So, in the near future, we could be drinking beer brewed from 133-year-old yeast.
That's honestly cool as shit.
Hell yeah. It's pretty fucking cool. I would love to see how that stacks up against other beers that we brew today, because yeast is, from what I understand, it's an organism. Mm-hmm. So there's different generations of yeast, and we don't have the one that's in that beer. So it's going to yield a different type of flavor, and it'll be interesting if they can extract it, what it tastes like.
It'd be even more interesting, I think, if we could successfully somehow bioengineer that strain of yeast to like reproduce itself again. Like how current, I don't know. I'm not a yeast expert, so maybe yeast doesn't like reproduce, so to speak.
I think that's like pretty much what it does. Like when you put water on it, it activates it and reproduces. I think.
Well, I guess
that's how that works.
We don't know shit. Okay.
Yeah. We don't.
What I'm saying is, like, you had mentioned that we don't have that strain of yeast anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be really cool if we could bioengineer that strain of yeast to be in production again, so that we could have brews reminiscent of like 1886 time, which would be super dope.
Yeah, it would be super cool to be like, yeah, I'm drinking 133-year-old yeast beer. What's up?
Yeast beach.
Ye old beer beach.
Ye old yeast beach weech. I don't know, man. That just seems really fucking cool.
Yeah, I would love to try this beer. So hopefully it's successful. Hopefully they can extract the yeast from this old shipwrecked brew. And they've better come up with a super cool name for it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because it's a shipwrecked beer. Like, how could you not come up with a cool name for that?
Even if they just call it shipwrecked.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's cool enough.
Like, that'd be cool as shit. What I don't want to see them do is make a fucking porter out of it. I'm sorry, all you porter lovers out there. But if it's a fucking porter, it's going to be garbage no matter what. Because porter sucks.
Oh, gosh, Kyle. You're being really aggressive.
Well, I'm just saying, they better not make no dark-ass beer with it.
Well, I guess we shall see. But I'm assuming back in the day, they probably drank some, like, ink, black ink shit. So if they're trying to be reminiscent of what they used to drink, it's probably going to be super dark. But I don't know. I don't actually know what old beer used to be like.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what makes you think it was super dark?
I don't know. I think everything used to be super harsh. I mean, three dudes were shitting on the same plank. That's pretty fucking harsh.
You got a point.
Thank you.
You got a point.
So, this next story is super cool, but we're going to need to fast forward 69 years from the last story. This happened in our home state of Indiana, Jeffersonville, Indiana, to be exact. Let's set the scene. 64 years ago, 1955. This is the year that Rosa Parks was arrested. Rock and roll music popularity was increasing, featuring Elvis Presley, and Disneyland opened in California.
Yay, Disney!
This is also the year that Martha Everett lost her black stitched purse at Jeffersonville High School in small town Indiana. A purse containing a prom invitation and photos, among other items. Let's head back to 2019, shall we?
Yep.
A construction crew is demolishing part of the old Jefferson High School building when they come across a black purse behind science classroom cabinets. Inside, they find a prom invitation, photos, and other items from 1950s America. Thanks to social media, the district was able to track down Martha and send it back to her in her home state of Florida 64 years later.
They should have waited 5 years.
So it'd be 69.
Well, yeah, because it was 69
years. She's old as fuck. If they waited 5 years, she'd be dead.
Well, we don't know that for sure, but it would have been cool if it would have been like, because you said 69 years from 1886, and then be like 69 years from the time she lost her purse, like 69 and 69.
This podcast is irrelevant to that, either of those stories.
That lovely correlating. Lady got her purse.
She did. And it's such a cool story because when you think about it, it's an accidental time capsule.
Yeah. Holy shit.
An accidental time capsule.
That's a great way to think about it.
Needs to be a podcast.
It should be a podcast.
Time capsule. But they even found a note in there with like really nice handwriting. And I'm like, damn, why don't they teach you how to write like that anymore? Because my handwriting is like garbage compared to that.
Your handwriting is garbage? My handwriting's illegible.
No, it's like beautiful cursive. It's beautiful cursive. And they taught cursive when I went to school, but now they don't. But they didn't teach
seriously?
It. They don't teach cursive anymore.
My God. When did that start?
A while ago. I think they pretty much just teach you how to sign your name now.
Oh, my God. What?
But they used to, like, in the 1950s, really teach you how to write nicely in cursive. But even when I was in school, they didn't teach you how to write like that. But anyway, that story is super heartwarming and super cool, and that they're shipping it back to her where she lives in Florida now. And some people got to check out some really cool items and see kind of what was a high schooler's life like in 1955?
Yeah, and it's crazy to think about because if you think about it, she probably lost that purse and was sad for a couple of days, maybe.
And never thought about it again.
Yeah, and then didn't think about it.
Yeah.
Because it was just a purse with a couple photos, like you said, and maybe a note or two in it. Like nothing like government documents or anything like that.
Yeah, she was a high schooler, so.
But finding that in 2019, you look at that and you're like, oh my God. This is, like you said, it's an accidental time capsule. It's a glimpse into life. It's a glimpse into just like a
small window. The most mundane of like existence back then. You know, it's not that long ago, 1955, but think about the examples I gave. That 1955 was the year that Rosa Parks was arrested and when Elvis Presley was booming. So to millennials, that feels like forever ago. So to get a glimpse into a high schooler's life back then, even if it's just simple things like prom invitations and photos, is so interesting and cool.
Well, and as somebody who studies history, like, it's so, stuff like that is so cool and so rare, because, you know, nowadays, especially with some of the bigger time frames in history, it's been picked over so much and fictionalized so much or written about so much.
Romanticized. Especially the 1950s is so romanticized.
It's been romanticized so much that you get these grand overarching themes that pop up, and sometimes the realness of it gets lost in those kind of things.
The real people that lived then.
Right. Yeah. So seeing something like that where you get that unbridled glimpse, that unscripted glimpse into just a normal kid's life.
Yeah. It's
crazy,
really cool.
Crazy cool.
And I could only imagine what the experience is like for Martha to open that up after all these years
to
and
see those photos,
have
that she
the memories flood back.
God.
Like, she's probably completely forgot what was in there. So when she received it, you know, her being, I think she's in her 80s.
A little just, snowbird moved to Florida.
Just being able to go through those memories that she probably completely forgot about and be like, oh, yeah, that was, you know, Betty Sue.
Right.
Like, that's just so cool to have an experience like that.
That's cool. That's cool as hell. I mean, I'm going to be honest. That's cool as hell.
Oh, yeah. And all accidental.
Accidental time capsules.
Accidental, incidental. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
To escape the nunnery?
Hell yeah.
Good, because that's the journey we're going on. Medieval nun fakes death to escape convent and enjoy a life of lust.
That's a metal as fuck, dude.
Right? Sounds like the basis for a juicy novel, but this really happened during the 14th century in England. In a letter dating to 1318, Archbishop William Melton describes a scandalous rumor he heard detailing the blasphemous behavior of a nun named Joan. The letter requests the dean's help in finding Joan and demanding that she return to her convent in York. To try to get away with her escape, Joan apparently created some kind of body double that the other nuns would bury as her own. Speculation is that she used something like a shroud filled with earth, which she is a woman for her time. She's like, fuck this shit. I'm going to stuff this cloth full of dirt, and these dumb fucks are going to think it's me. Let's do this shit.
Hell yeah. Like I said, that's the most metal thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, she's definitely a woman for her time, which is super badass. As for what Joan was escaping to, described in the letter as her carnal lust, we can only speculate. It could mean no more than enjoying material pleasures, thus abandoning her vow of poverty. Which, I feel you, girl. Fuck that.
Right?
I want to be poor.
I want a computer and shit.
Okay, I don't think that's possible in 1318.
Well, you know what? I don't care.
Kyle's like, fuck logic. I don't give a fuck. The University of York project to put the letter and other historic accounts online in 33 months in partnership with the National Archives. So maybe we'll hear the rest of the nun story then. But for now, it's kind of an open book.
Yeah, but it's a metal open book. I swear to God, she just went to have a lot of butt sex. That's what she wanted.
No, I don't think so.
Well, how are you so sure?
I'd like to believe that she's just like living her best life. She's like,
and her best life included butt sex.
She's like, fuck the patriarchy. I'm going out. I'm doing what I want in 1318, which is crazy because honestly, they probably would have killed her for it or something. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
They would
oh,
be
for
like,
sure.
Kill her. She's a witch. And she'd be like, no, I ain't no witch.
I ain't no witch, bees. I ain't no witchy, beachy, beach.
But that's such a cool story. I hope that when they go through the rest of these historic accounts that they find out what happened to her.
I mean, I will somber it up a bit to say that it's sad that she had to do that just to enjoy her life.
It is.
It's also sad that people still have to do that to this day. But I'm not going to go into that because I don't want to get religious. I'm just going to say that she's metal as fuck, living her best metal goddamn life.
Yeah, I hope she escaped and had, like, an amazing lustful love and just went off into the countryside and had a great life and didn't die of some horrible disease that existed in 1318. You can follow the podcast on Instagram at WDKSpod. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back next week with a full-length episode. Thanks for listening.